So how many of you remember the movie You've Got Mail? Now some of the younger ones are like, what are you talking about? Okay, this was Tom Hanks, right? And he and this lady, Meg Ryan, I believe it was, so of course that wasn't their character name, but they would be excited to get email. Well, that was because this was back when it just started. So if you remember that far back, everybody had an AOL account. I mean, that was the only thing you could have. So you had AOL, and the internet was just getting started. And so some of you are like, what? The internet was just getting started? Like Andrew is going, I have no idea what he's talking about. And they would, you would open your computer, and you'd sign on to AOL. And every now and then, it would pop up, You've Got Mail. Like, I'm not talking about 32 a day like I get now. I'm talking about, you know, you check it for 4 or 5 days, and then every now and then, You've Got Mail. And it's like, oh, who could it be? And it was probably an advertisement, right? Because most of us didn't have friends, like there wasn't Facebook, and, you know, but you had to actually sit and type and send an email. But they were excited that they would open their computer and You've Got Mail. I was thinking about going to the mailbox. Now, there's less and less things actually in the mailbox because people pay their bills online. I still like to write checks. So, you know, even though I work for a financial institution and can do it very easily, I still like writing the checks, mailing the checks. So when I go to the mailbox, what is it usually? Bills or junk. Bills or junk. You know, sometimes you get something that you're really pleased to get. Maybe you got a birthday card from somebody who doesn't normally send you a birthday card or something like that. And then there's also those times when you go and you get the mail and you open it up and it wasn't just what you wanted to hear. It might start with, we're sorry to inform you that. So Pastor Adam got one of those this week. He was carrying on at the basketball court, as guys do with his sons. He came down on his knee. They had to drag him off because he couldn't walk. He's been laying on the sofa for a week. He went for an MRI. He said, just so I didn't tear my ACL. He tore his ACL. So he has to have surgery, and he's going to have 6 to 8 weeks recovery. So he got one of those pieces of mail. Your lab results are... it's a complete tear. Not just a little bit, but a complete tear. So in Revelations, Jesus wrote mail to seven churches. Wasn't pages and pages. It was just a couple sentences to seven different churches. So those churches, you've got mail. So how excited were they to get mail from Jesus? Well, I think I'd be pretty excited to get mail from Jesus. Well, when we go through these, you'll see maybe they weren't all that excited to get mail from Jesus. And where I'm going today, as we move through these seven short messages that Jesus sent to the churches, is if Jesus wrote CLCC a letter, what would be in it? So, you know, it's still the beginning of 2022. It's only February. It seemed like a good time to pause and say, okay, in each of these things you'll see, Jesus told them what they were doing well and what he was really pleased with, and then he pointed out some things they could do better. And so, as I was reading through this, I was pausing and saying, okay, God, what have we been doing well? And isn't that interesting? Pastor Kirk got up with a message on what we've been doing well, how we've responded in adversity, and what could we be doing better? All right? You ready? Yeah, yeah. All right. So John, the disciple that Jesus loved, remember John? Okay. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, who wrote the book of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Okay, he wrote a lot, right? He's now exiled to an island. He's banished because he's a believer in Jesus. He's banished to an island in the middle of the Aegean Sea called Patmos. It's believed, because they're still there, that there were mines and caves then, and that prisoners who were exiled there had to work in the mines. We don't know for sure, but that's what it's believed happened. And the tradition says that he was in one of those caves one day when Jesus appeared to him and gave him this revelation. So we're going to start chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2. First church he wrote to was the church in Ephesus. See, he didn't write to the Baptist church in Ephesus and the Church of God in Ephesus and Christian life in Ephesus and the Presbyterians in Ephesus. He wrote to the church, all the believers, all the body of Jesus Christ. So to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write. So he was telling John what to write to them. Okay, you ready? The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands, says this. That's a description of Jesus. We had that description in chapter 1, which we didn't stop to read. I know your deeds. He knows what we have done, what we are doing. There's no doubt about it. And your toil and your perseverance. And that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to test those who call themselves apostles and are not. You found them to be false, and you have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. Come on, that's all good stuff, right? Okay, so if you got a letter from Jesus that said, I know your deeds, I know your toil, I know your perseverance, I know that you've endured and you've not grown weary. Yay, that's pretty good, right? But, Jesus has a but or a however. I have this against you. Ooh, okay, how excited would you be to get that letter? I have this against you, that you left your first love. Wow. So think back to when you first found out that God so loved you that he sent Jesus. And that all of the things that you've done wrong went on the cross with Jesus and can be forgiven. Even though your sins are scarlet, they can become white as snow. How excited were you? I remember being pretty excited. And you wanted to tell everybody, right? Hey, I just got saved. I just found Jesus. I just accepted Jesus. I just had my sins forgiven. Whatever you were using. And you couldn't wait to get to church on Sunday to spend time with Jesus. And Jesus said, but you've lost your first love. Verse 5. What are they supposed to do about that? He tells them, remember from where you have fallen. Remember what your passion for Jesus used to be like. Repent. Repent means change your way of thinking about it so that your behavior changes. And go back and do the things you used to do. So the way you were passionate about Jesus at the very beginning, be that passionate again. Or, oh, I don't like it when Jesus says or. I don't like it when Jesus says but, and I don't like it when he says or. Or else I'm coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Okay. Lost your first love. Now, again, I'm not assuming that everything Jesus said to all seven of these churches, he's saying to us, but it's worthwhile to pause and say, are you saying that to us? Are you saying that to me? Have I lost my first love? And if so, he tells us what to do. Repent. Repent and return. All right. Ready for the next one. Smyrna, just a couple verses down, verse 8. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the first and the last, the one who was dead and has come to life. Who's that? Jesus. Jesus is the answer to most of my questions this morning, so you can feel pretty confident that I'm going to say yes if you yell out Jesus, okay? And you are allowed to yell out when I ask a question. So, I know your tribulation and your lack, but you are actually rich. And the blasphemy by those who say that they are Jews and are not, they are, however, of the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison so that you will be tested. You will have tribulation for 10 days. However, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So Jesus says what? He says, I know your trials and tribulations. What did Jesus say to us this morning through Pastor Kurt? I know that you've gone through affliction and how you've handled that affliction. So Jesus knows our trials and our tribulations. He knows that they have some needs that have not yet been met. So it's okay to say to Jesus, I have some needs that have not yet been met, but I'm believing you to meet them. But he is aware of that. And Jesus knows that they're facing persecution. Hey, Pastor Kurt, would you see if there's something going that's humming behind me? Some other mic or instrument or something? Thank you. What was his instructions? What was his instructions? He just had two instructions. Do not fear. See, we all have that choice, don't we? When there's trials and tribulations, oh, that's better. We can fear or not fear. If Jesus comes to us and says, don't fear, that means he's believing that we can do that, right? Why would he instruct us to do something we can't do? So he said, do not fear. So if you come today with any fear, this is where we do what he instructed us to do. Let him unwrap that from us and come and receive peace instead. Amen? And the second one, be faithful. Be faithful even if it means that you're going to be persecuted. Be faithful even if it means you'll be put to death. Now, in this society, I really don't think that's going to happen, but for them, it very likely could have happened. Okay? John testified that he believed in Jesus. What happened to him? He got sent to the mines of Patmos. He got exiled. All right. So we're looking at each of these to see what Jesus might be saying to us individually and what he might be saying to us as a church. Church number three. Okay? Just a couple verses down. Remember, Jesus wrote them each just a short email, a short letter. Almost could write it out on a postcard. Just a couple sentences to each church. So Pastor Kurt, we were asking what letter we might get from Jesus. Might be in it. Okay? Verse 12. This is Pergamum. Verse 12. And the angel of the church, and to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword. That is? Oh, now, come on. I even told you what you could yell out when I asked you the question. Jesus! Okay, let's try it again. Who was that? Oh, you're getting there. Well, you have four more tries. Remember, there's seven churches, and Jesus writes all of them. Okay. I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And he knows that you have held fast my name, did not deny my faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. but I have a few things against you, because you have there some who hold the teaching of Balaam, who have kept teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality." So Jesus knew that they were being spiritually oppressed. He knows when we are being spiritually oppressed. He knows that we engage in spiritual warfare. Okay? Anybody want to admit that we've had some spiritual warfare the last couple years? Yes, spiritual warfare. And what did he say encouraging to them? "You have held fast, and you did not deny your faith in Jesus." Yay. So again, he started with the things that they were doing really well, and acknowledging that he knew exactly where they were and what they were going through. Okay, do you ever have days like I do occasionally, like, "Jesus, do you even know?" I mean, maybe I'm the only one that asked this. Oh, I'm not the only one, Nancy. It's like, "Jesus, do you really realize this is what my week looks like right now?" Okay. Well, he says he does. He knows what our week looks like, our month, our year. Okay. And then he comes and he says, "But this is what you've been doing really well." So I love that Jesus gave us an example of that this morning with Pastor Kirk coming up and saying, "Hey, you've gone through the affliction of this last 2 years really well. You handled it right. You obeyed me." Okay. But then he always says, "But this is what you can do better." And that's what I want us to hear this morning. What can we as individuals do better? What can we as CLCC do better? So all of these things were really encouraging, but then he says, "However, you are allowing false teaching, even teaching that says that sexual immorality is okay." Okay. We do not want to allow false teaching. We do not want to allow teaching that says that sexual immorality is okay. Because he has a "or." In this case, it's a "therefore," down in verse 16. "Therefore, repent." Okay, again, change your way of thinking. Repent so that your actions change. "Or else I am coming quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth." Ouch. Those who are allowing false teaching and those who are saying that sexual morality is okay. All right, church number four. Thyatira. Boy, I like Newville. That's much easier to say, right? Where do you live? Thyatira. Okay, that's a little bit more difficult. Just a little down in verse 18. Okay, if you're following along, now we're in 18. So just a couple verses to each church. "To the angel of the church in Thyatira, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze," which is? Oh, that was much better. "I know your deeds." I see again. "And your love, your faith, your service, and your perseverance." Yay! Right? So that was a couple well done's. Your love, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. Ooh, that sounds pretty good, right? You're even increasing in love and faith and service and perseverance. But, here we go. "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, but she teaches and leads my bondservants away so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality." Ah, So Jesus knows their good deeds. He knows their act of love. He knows their faith. He knows that they serve others and that they aren't just persevering through this time, but they're actually increasing in their good deeds. However, they are allowing another false teacher who leads people into immoral acts. Okay. And then he says again, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Why would Jesus have to say he who has ears? How many of us have ears? I'm pretty sure almost all of us have ears. How many of us are physically deaf in our ears? Well, we may have some people here who are hard of hearing, right? But we can at least hear some. But Jesus isn't talking about physical ears, is he? He's talking about who has spiritual ears to hear. That means that you have to be actually listening. Well, one of the hardest things for me, we all have different reasons we can't hear. Well, because it says his sheep know his voice and they hear his voice, so we can hear it. But one of the big things for me is just busyness. Okay, I just do one thing and then the next thing and then I'm already planning the next thing. And so when I'm going between this thing, I'm planning this thing. And then I'm calling this person and emailing. You know, remember I said I open up and have 32 emails. And if I skip a day, now I have 64. Now I'm just really behind. And am I pausing to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying? That's why, like, particularly on Sunday mornings, I show up here at 8 a.m., turn everything on, turn the heat up, but then I have a nice long time of actually quieting myself and listening for what the Spirit is saying. You're still in bed snoring, are you, Gloria? Are you still in bed snoring? Yeah. And some of us maybe do that before bed. See, I'm the opposite way. When I, after 8:30, quarter nine, and I lay down in bed and I read a little bit and then I'm out. So I do it in the morning. But are we listening? And then the other thing that keeps us from hearing is if our own voices, okay, who has voices in their head? I think we all have voices in our head. If our own voices are saying things over and over and over and over, and we can't allow Jesus to get in between those things. So we have to be listening. He says, those who have ears to hear, those who are listening for what the Holy Spirit is saying. All right, so just a quick reminder, and then Mike's going to come and share a testimony with us, and then we'll look at the last three pieces of mail. But what did Jesus warn them against? So far, it's been just a couple of the same categories. You've lost your first love. So we want to make sure today, and we're going to do this at the end, is that we're allowing that first love within us to be stirred back up. You have to do that as couples, right? Those of you that are married, you occasionally, like Dory and John are away this weekend, and we've been sharing the girls for the weekend because they want to go and stir back up, right? Their relationship and their commitment to one another. So the same thing with Jesus. Return to the first love. Number two, they were believing some things they shouldn't be believing. Do we ever do that? I think we do. We believe things about ourselves we shouldn't. We believe things about each other we shouldn't. We believe things about God that we shouldn't. And then number three, they were believing that it was okay to compromise or have immorality in their lives. We do that, but it doesn't always happen right away. We sometimes just allow a little compromise and then a little compromise and then a little compromise. Right? That's how it starts. Okay, Mike, come up and share your testimony, and then we'll do the last three churches. Last three pieces of mail.
So we men are going through a book Richie Lewis has written, The Dream Center. Kurt, am I correct? It's Moving Mountains? And in the first two chapters, he briefly was pressing in for more of God, and then God kind of changed some things and said, stop praying and start commanding. And Richie, in chapter 3, which we just covered, Richie went through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, and nowhere does it expressly say that they prayed for anybody, Jesus or the disciples, but they spoke, they commanded, and they received results. So, we were challenged. Me and two other husband and wife went down to the sportsman show on Friday after school, and to love on people, to meet with them, if we could, you know, whatever, just display God. And Freddie and I sat down with one guy first. I didn't share this. And he had some hearing issues. He was open and allowed us to pray. Didn't see anything happening, but we just loved on him and really put the word into him. We were out walking about a little bit later, and there was at this one booth selling different shirts and so forth, patriotic. A young gentleman that had issues in both ears, like 40% and 30% hearing loss. He was a veteran from over in Afghanistan. And he spoke of God, but, you know, the way the conversation went, it was real questionable. So I was with Michelle at that point, Freddie's wife, and he was already moving out and about elsewhere. And so she just piped up and says, well, can we pray for you? Well, yeah. And so she looks at me and says, Mike, go ahead. So I was challenged, and I just said, Holy Spirit, come. And I just commanded the ear, open up. I mean, it was just extremely brief. And he kind of one of them numbers. And I said, what's happening? And I just spoke quieter, and I spoke quieter, and I spoke. He kept, I can hear you. I can hear you. I can hear you. And I said, how about your other ear? No, it's still closed up. And I said, can we pray for that? And he wouldn't let us. I think that encounter freaked him out. And that happens sometimes to the unchurched, per se. Not saying, you know, anything. I don't know where he, I just, from what the conversation, how we went, I don't think he had that close relationship. But what we did was demonstrated Jesus, and therefore he had an encounter, and one of his ears is open. We're believing God to do the other one.
Yay!
And he wasn't here at church. How about that? God does miracles out there. Come on.
Yeah.
Pastor Kurt out there at a sportsman's show.
Yeah.
All right. Last three. You ready? We're in chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to do the last three now. This is Sardis. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this. Who's that?
Jesus.
I heard three people on this side of the room and Jack. Okay, so who was it?
Jesus.
Oh, you actually? Okay. I know your deeds. Again, I know your deeds. That you have a name that is alive, ooh, but you are dead. Ouch. That would be one of those pieces of mail that maybe you wanted to not get out of the envelope. I know your deeds and that you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. Wake up! Come on. And strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you received and heard and keep it. Repent. If you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So Jesus is saying, you have a name that's alive. You're followers of Jesus, but you're dead. Well, it makes you wonder what happened, huh? They were followers of Jesus. He says, wake up. Okay, who do you yell wake up to? Someone who's asleep or slumbering. Somehow they've allowed themselves to go into a slumber. Strengthen what is left. Strengthen what still has life remaining. You started, but somewhere along the way you decided to quit. So what's Jesus' advice? Remind yourself of God's love for you. Remind yourself of what Jesus did for you. Remind yourself that you do have the Holy Spirit, and wake up. Okay? Is he saying that to any of us? Is he saying that to any way that we're slumbering, that we need to wake up? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Okay? Verses 7 and 8. Philadelphia. Philadelphia, city of brotherly, which of course we have right here in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. So what's he say to Philadelphia? He who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one can shut, and he who shuts and no one can open. Who is it? There we go. I just love that expression. He who has the keys. He who opens the door and no one can shut, and he who shuts and no one can open. That is an excellent way to pray when you have an opportunity and you don't know whether you're to go through that door or not. It is perfectly fine to say, Jesus, I'm hunting for a job. I have three opportunities. And the best I can do is try to make pros and cons of all three. Well, the way you pray is, you're the one that opens doors that no one can shut, and you'll shut doors that no one can open. So close the doors where you don't want me to go through, and leave the one open that you do want me to go through. That is an excellent way to pray. And all of a sudden you'll call and say, well, we were going to offer this job to you, but Jesus let that door go closed. The other one that you thought might not be open, he is left open and you can walk through. Right? Okay. The one who opens and no one can shut, and shut and no one can open, says this, I know your deeds. Okay, if you haven't gotten anything else out of these seven messages, Jesus knows us. He knows what we do, what we go through, and what we need. I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut. Because you have great and awesome power. Is that what it says? Come on, Frank, what's it say? Because you have a little strength, a little power. That's pretty exciting. Even if you have just a little power or a little strength, Jesus can open a door for you to go through. And you have kept my word and have not denied my name. They did not quit. The last church quit. They did not go to sleep. The last church went to sleep. They used what they had been given. Remember all of Jesus' parables and analogies about you've been given so many coins, you've been given so many talents, you've been given so many gifts. What are you doing with what you've been given? And the last message I shared with you was about, are you giving what you have to give? Remember, Peter and John went to the lame man, and they said, We wish we could give you $100 so you could eat, but we'll give you what we have. And guess what? It was better than $100. We'll give you what we have. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Just like Mike was sharing, that's what the men are learning. Okay? They didn't pray. He didn't pray and say, "Oh God, please touch this man. You know he's been lame for 40 years." He said, "Get up and walk in Jesus' name. Give what you have to give." And Jesus is saying, they gave what they had to give. And they kept hold of his power and his word. "Because I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not but lie, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing." Come on, that's an awesome promise. Verse 10. "Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing. That hour that's about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, so that no one takes your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore." Some awesome promises. All right, final one. Church number 7, Laodicea. Laodicea. Down in verse 14. "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Jesus says this, "I know your deeds." Come on. "That you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot." Ooh. Okay? You're not hot, but you're not cold either. Why would he rather they be one or the other? If they're hot, he can breathe on their flames. And if he's cold, he can relight it and reignite it. But when you're lukewarm, you're just satisfied being lukewarm. "So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." That word is actually vomit. Yuck. "I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich and have become wealthy, and I have need of nothing." Like, I don't need God. I'm okay right where I am. Everything's all right. "You do not know that you are actually wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Oh! Exactly, ouch. "I advise you." Okay, if Jesus is saying, "I advise you," I think you all listen up, right? What's he advise them? "Buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may become rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see." Wow. "Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Now, we use this for salvation, which is true, but Jesus is telling this church, this group of believers, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Is Jesus knocking on anybody's heart? Is Jesus saying, "Hey, you've allowed there to be a distance. You've allowed a door to shut between us, and I'm knocking and I'm saying, are you going to open the door and let me come back in? I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Whoa! How does that sound? Jesus is going to come in. He's going to bring food and wine, and he's going to dine with you and you with him. But you have to be willing to open the door. You have to be willing to make room for Jesus. have to be willing to make time in for Jesus. Have to be willing to make Jesus a priority in your life. So he's telling them, admit your need where you have fallen from. Return to Jesus for what you need. Allow him to discipline and instruct you. He wants to come in. He wants to be more involved in your life than he is now. He wants us to deepen our relationship with him. He wants our relationship to be heart to heart. He wants us to be wants it to be deeper and deeper. So what I want to do when we close is we're still going to, as leaders, keep up praying and saying, continuing to pray and say, Jesus, what are you saying to us? If we got mail from you, what would you say when you look at our deeds? And what could we do better? But this morning we're going to make it individual. And we're going to listen to a song that talks about coming to Jesus and letting him revive us. If you're hot for Jesus, then wonderful. Let him make you hotter. If you're cold, can he relight completely cold, dead coals? Well, absolutely. He went into a valley of dead, skeletal, dry bones and brought them back to life. And if your fire, your embers have just gone down and down, and maybe they're just on warm, today the Holy Spirit can blow on that and relight the fire. So we're going to come to Jesus today, and whatever that looks like for you, sitting in your seat, kneeling at your seat, kneeling in the aisle, coming up front and standing, coming up front and kneeling, we want you to meet with Jesus today, whatever that looks like for you. And then we'll close in prayer afterwards. So, Pastor Kurt.